is a time when in the captivity the death angel passed over the firstborn. And the firstborn is what carries on the name of the people. And it was the blood on the door of the lamb sacrificed at Passover that caused that death angel to pass on. If you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it states very clearly there that for us today, Christ is our Passover. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It is His blood on the cross that causes the death angel to pass over you, over your family, when you live in Him, around Him, and He in you. That's just the way it is. That brings forth His blessings. And naturally, we always must go back to the cross, because it was His burial and His resurrection that gives us the right to celebrate that Passover and to understand its meaning with clarity from His Word. So if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Let's go to that time that He paid the price on the cross. Let's pick it up with verse 41. This is as He's hanging on the cross. I want you to remember these words. Verse 41 reads, "Likewise also the chief priest, mocking Him with the scribes and elders." Who was doing this? The chief priest. But not a chief priest appointed of God. Not of Aaron. But appointed by a Roman governor to be chief priest. So we can understand the murmuring, can we not? What are they saying? Verse 42, "He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross." And we're going to pick Him back up from the Old Testament in a little bit. "He trusted in God, let Him deliver Him now if He will have Him. For He said, I am the Son of God." And truly He was hanging on that cross before them. Verse 44, "The thieves also which were crucified with Him cast the same in His teeth." However, we know that one converted before that was over with. "Now from the sixth hour there was a darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." In other words, from 12 noon until 3 p.m. it was pitch black. You would think that somebody would say, what's unusual about this? What's going on? But they were not, they thought nothing of it. Nothing. Blind, leading the blind, always fall in a ditch. It's real sad. Really sad. When people are void of truth. And truth is God's Word. Verse 46, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, being interpreted, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, Jesus never called God, God. He called Him Father. So what is Jesus doing then? He's quoting Scripture. He is nailing for you the Old Testament, what happened 1,000 years before the fact. The very words that were coming from the mouth of a so-called chief priest that were placed there by God Himself so that you know the Scripture is true. So that you know why this is called the High Sabbath. I don't care what day of the week it falls on. It's judged by the beginning of the new year, the spring equinox. That day, I don't care what day it is, it falls and becomes the High Sabbath for that week. And it is that day that we commemorate, that we come together to partake of His cup, His body, that engrafts He into us and we into Him, into that family for we are family. But he paid an awesome price, beloved, because we're not perfect. He was. And he was that sacrifice that it was written of. Turn with me to Psalms 22. This is what Jesus was directing you to. Psalms 22. And we read there the very words that he spoke from the cross. Verse 1 reads, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? In other words, Christ was teaching, and he was teaching you so that you would know these scriptures would come to pass as they are written exactly. 1,000 years before the fact, and over, year by year, we bring them into remembrance. But he did this for us. Talk about love. Talk about leadership. Talk about a wonderful person. But he did this for us who are... We're not perfect. You know, if each one of us were to take a case and be judged and say, were you worth the fact that he paid for you with his life? Right? But that, you know, I don't think I have to answer that for you. That's why we can love him so much, is that he did this for you. He did it for the family. Verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. These were David's words. But Christ repeated them. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Verse 4, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. You remember the high priest's words and those that were jeering at him? Part of it. Okay. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. They were not ashamed. You listen to him and you follow his word, and you shall never be ashamed either. You will always be on the winning ticket, the winning side, when you stick with his word, his guidance. 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. That's the way they treated Christ. I mean, many people say, I'd like to walk in his footsteps. You want to think about that. He did some pretty heavy treading for us. Not everybody can cut it, I guarantee you. Verse 7, all they that see me laugh to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, here come those words. Verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. 1,000 years before the fact, if you ever needed your faith strengthened, that thus saith the word of God, then this documents that word. For no man could cause all those things to come to pass exactly as they were written. Word for word, act for act, deed for deed, 1,000 years before the fact. That should nail for you the fact that you can believe the word of God. Verse 9, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. 10, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Why was there none to help? They ran. I mean, they sold out. There is one that we cannot accuse of that. It was John, the disciple that loved Jesus, because Jesus told him to take Mother Mary and take her home and be with her. But there were women on a hill not far away that did stay. But they deserted him. Let me tell you something. You are not going to do that. You are not going to desert him when the Antichrist appears on this earth. You're going to make a stand. You're going to make a difference because you are a child of God. You have read from his word what happens before the fact. You know the truth. You have the seal of the living God in your forehead, knowing Satan has no power nor hand upon you, nor can he place one there, that you're a champion for Almighty God. And you will stand, and you will deliver, knowing you're perfectly safe. Why? You're a child of the living God. Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They look mean. You know, Bashan was known for huge animals that grew there. You don't have to be afraid of them. They gapped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. You know, people can be pretty cruel with their mouths, with their tongues. I don't know, what kind of skin do you have? Because there will be people that will criticize you for your beliefs. There will be people especially criticize you after the false Messiah makes his appearance on this earth and you stand against him. They're going to call you all kinds of names because in their mind and in their eyes, you refuse their Jesus. Even though he's the fake, you're going to stand. You're going to make a difference. As it is written in Mark 13, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say at that time. And as it is written in Luke 21, even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say at that time, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit. What a time to live, beloved. What a time to serve the living God. And you're there. Verse 14, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint and my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of me. His arms were pulled from socket as he was nailed to that cross. Naturally, his bones were out of socket, out of joint. Did that for you. And, you know, he was the Son of God. He could have said, let's put this off another day. Let's put it off another year. Let's just put it off. He didn't say that. He marched to that point. That was the fixed time. And fixed times with our Father are very important. And we continue then with verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. We're at the end of the day. My mouth is so very dry, I can hardly swallow, like an old piece of dried potsherd in the desert. Verse 16, for dogs, that's to say enemies, have compassed me and assembled, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They nailed him to the cross. And there he was again. For what? For you. For our family. That through this we gained having him illustrate, as we read yesterday in Luke chapter 10, giving us power and authority over all of our enemies in his name. I don't know. You're going to cut it. You're going to stand. You're living in a precious, precious time. And the sands of time are already tilted and are running out. Grain at a time. A fixed time is coming. 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. 18, they part my garments among them, they cast lots upon my vesture. How many people could have known 1,000 years before the fact that the Roman soldiers would be gambling at the foot of the cross for his robe, for his clothing. Just maybe it was just an accident. It was no accident. It was the word of God coming to pass as it is written, and as you can count on this day, ensuring in the very truth itself, assuring and building strength in your heart, mind, body, and soul, that his word is truth, and truth sets you free. It sets you free from fear of anything that is unknown, because truth makes things known. But be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. He always does. That's his promise. Well, what was his promise? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not for an instant. He will never do that. You're his and he is yours. Deliver, verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling. This word darling in the Hebrew is soul, okay? From the power of the dog, that is to say the enemy. God always will. Do you know something? You can trust him. You may have trouble and difficulty trusting men sometimes, but you can always, I do mean always, trust God. He's there for you. 21, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. Unicorn is wild ox in the Hebrew. There's no such thing as a unicorn. Verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. This is recorded in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 through 14 is the life of Christ. It states there, I came and was born in the flesh, just like you, to show you that I can do it just like you, only he did it perfect where we don't. And it also, in the 14th verse of Hebrews chapter 2, gives you the reason he came, was to destroy death, which is to say the devil. That's what, get him off your back for one and all times. Both from the first earth age and this earth age, and praise God, cleared house for the age that is to come. That's what it's all about. You know, we have some wonderful times ahead, forever, an everlasting time of peace in the eons that are approaching. And we just got a little further to go, and we've just got a few enemies to get rid of, okay? And you're going to have some people right to the end that are going to say, but let's see if we can save them. We don't want them. If they are savable, if they can be salvaged, Christ will do it. But if they still want to be obstinate and love Satan, then let them go with him. That's what they want. Are you going to withhold it from them? I don't think so. Let them have their way. Everybody chooses their own way. Everybody chooses their own lot. You are where you are today because of your choices, not someone else's. Yours, because you agreed to it. So face up. No. Understand. Realize. Our Father is certainly in control. But I think it's wonderful in that Hebrews chapter 2 that he lets you know that he did it himself. He didn't cause you to be born in the flesh, which is painful, a painful existence at times. But to let you know that he's not going to ask you to do something he hasn't done a lot better. Okay, verse 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. That's those that revere him, those that love him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. 24, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. God hears the least little cry, the least whimper, when one is offended by the enemy. He hears, he knows, and don't ever, ever. One of Satan's biggest tricks is to try to convince you that God doesn't care about you. Do you think he's going to answer your prayers? That's of course he's going to hear. And he's going to answer it for what is best for you. It may not be what you want, but it's going to be for what is best for you. You see, he knows at this fixed time where he wants you. He knows what he wants you to, he knows what he wishes you to do at that time. But he controls things to that fixed time whereby he can use you if you're one of God's elect. God will interfere in the lives of the elect because, as we know from Romans chapter 8, he chose them from before and justified them. And what a wonderful time to be one of his election and know that he does use you and that he will interfere in your life. But he will always hear. Don't let Satan convince you otherwise. 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Excuse me. That congregation is coming, and it is a time when God separates the sheep from the goats, or let's be kind and say believers from unbelievers. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Your soul shall live forever. Your heart is your mind, your thought, your power of thought. Eternal life you shall live. Why? He loves you. And he does hear you. He knows exactly where you are and what you're doing. Verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. On the first day of the millennium, every knee shall bow. A bunch of them are a bunch of fakes. Okay? But when they see the presence of God, they cannot help themselves to know. But let 1,000 years go by, and they don't change. They forget. Remind them, they'll shape up. But let a little time go by, and they fall back into the same old rut of being happy in the flesh. They won't be in the flesh at the millennium. But they will have a long time to drift away. Don't. Stay with him. Verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. You really want to understand that real good. It's so simple. He's in charge. He's governor of all. And, you know, when he's going to be the governor forever, you want to be on his team. Okay. Verse 29, all they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. That's a hard lesson for some to learn. That's a hard lesson they had to learn at the Tower of Babel. They were going to build a tower that gave them a way to heaven. They didn't need God to be saved. They could just climb right up there. It's the same way with cloning. People trying to arrange a way to save their own self, to give themselves longevity. There's no way you can save your own soul. There's only one Savior, and his Father controls all. He's the governor of all. Verse 30, the seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. You know, some people call it that generation of the fig tree. It's now. It is now, and that generation is going to serve him. That generation is you. The generation that began in the year of our Lord, 1948. And some that were born in that time are already beginning to put on a little gray. So, We're well along into that generation, moving on forward to that fixed time, a fixed time for our Heavenly Father. Verse 31 to complete, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. That he hath done this is the equivalent of, as it is written in the great book of John, it is finished. And he gave up the Spirit, and he passed on back to the Father at that moment. But he taught that entire chapter to ensure in your mind that you would understand the burial and the death, the burial and the resurrection. That he defeats death. In him there is no death. And in him, in reality, do you realize that not even Satan is dead? He still has a little work that God intends him to do. But many that love him, because Christ defeated death in his resurrection, step into that spiritual body. And he has said at that time, my good and faithful servant, well done. So that's why we come to this moment, to partake of his body, to partake of that cup. His body received the stripes. You can receive the healing. His blood washes away sin. And as we all repent and come to this point, in this fixed time today, to partake of the Holy Communion, that he can wash you. And, you know, when he makes you his child, then to partake, you must know that he was worthy. That he was worthy, he was perfect to pay that price for you. The reason I'm saying that some people don't take communion because they think they're not worthy, and you got it all backwards, because you never will be. We never will be. But don't you dare say he wasn't. And he provides that communion. You can always take communion with us in this family because you know that Christ was worthy. That as his joints were pulled from the sockets, he did that for you, documenting that he was worthy. 1,000 years before the fact, he told them what would happen. You know, how many people would have, as I stated earlier, would have backed out by 1,000 years of having done that? He didn't, and neither are you, in backing out of serving him. So, as we come at this time, and the reason we gathered is Passover, so that Satan must pass over your home, that Satan must pass over you. And at the same time, if you need a healing, ask him at this time for that healing. If you need a correction in your life, ask him. If you, as a Christian, come forth and wish to take this for someone else,